know, hit upside the head, something unexpected comes along, and we like to go there and rejoice in the fact that we know that somehow, some way, God's going to make everything right. And there are things that have happened in my life, things that happen in your life. In this world, I can see no earthly way it can ever be made right. Anybody like that? Okay. So we're just going to have to trust God that somehow, if not in this world, in the next world, everything will be made right. There'll be a recompense made, and the wicked will be judged. And those who think they get away with sin this day, well, they actually do get away with it. But everything's going to be made right. And in the process, in this life, even if every wrong is not judged in this life, when something comes into our life, God will somehow, even if it's out of the will of God, it comes into our life. It's not something God wants. It comes into our life. Then God can still use that to mold us, to shape us, to mold us, to help us to become what he wants us to be. And what he wants us to be is found in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And the predestination there is not a selection or election for salvation, but is predestined to become like Jesus. And so in the next world, I'll be exactly like Jesus. And that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. In this world, I'm not. And nobody is. Nobody's going to achieve. So that's why the Apostle Paul said that he keep pressing on. And so we, just because we can't be like Jesus today, exactly like him today, is no excuse for not trying, not allowing the Holy Spirit to use us to become more like him. And if we become more like him, well, that's better than where we are right now, wouldn't you say? And so he wants us to become exactly like him, and we know that we will one day be exactly like him, but that's in eternity, that's not today. But in the meanwhile, there's a process the Holy Spirit is going through with us to change us, to mold us, to become what God wants us to be. The song we sang, and there a verse in there about mold us, was talking about shaping us, using us, take the things that happen in this life, the good things, the bad things, and let God use that to mold us like the potter and to shape us. Okay, so that's basically should catch us up to. Let me see here. Yeah, we're to be like Jesus in every area. Well, let me rephrase that. I can't walk on water, and I can't make the sun to shine. So in the areas where God, where Jesus was showing his deity, we cannot do that. But I want to tell you something. When Jesus performed miracles on this earth, okay, he did not do them in his own power. He is the second person of the Trinity. Well, that's what we call him. He is God. But remember, he surrendered his will to the Father. And blind man was healed, he prayed out loud. Remember why he prayed? He said he was doing that not for his sake or the blind man's sake, but for the folks that were around there. Because he said God, he knows that God hears him anyways, and God could heal him, but he wanted us to understand that it was the Father who was healing this man. Yes, he was using Jesus. Because if Jesus went around and did his entire ministry in his own power, what could we emulate? Right. You're not God. You don't have power like Jesus has. You couldn't do those sort of things. I couldn't be like him in any area. Right. But because he humbled himself and took on the form of a man, and then he allowed the Holy Spirit to use him when he was baptized, didn't the Holy Spirit send upon him? And so he was filled with the Spirit, and it was not Jesus performing these miracles per se, but it was God the Father performing these miracles through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that is something that you and I can have access to. You see, I can't be like God, but I can get a hold of the Holy Spirit, because he's God. and I can pray, and I can have, and I can live in such a way that God can bless, and on and on and on, all these different things. And I can then do things. Did Jesus say we would do equal things to him or mightier things?
Mightier.
Mightier. Just doing equal is a pretty tall order. But to do mightier things than Jesus did, there's no humanly way possible that could be. Except it is possible because then I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So if we can get the Holy Spirit to use us, we can perform, and I'm not ashamed to say this, I'm not abashed or say this, and I don't care if you think I'm insane, crazy, local, or whatever, but I still believe in miracles today. And I believe God wants to use people to he'll do the miracle, but he'll use the people. And I'm not talking about like those stupid televangelists, you know, whack you side the head, you fall over, and hope they catch you on the way down, you know. They don't always catch everybody, so but you know, that fakery kind of stuff. But I'm talking about real genuine miracles. I've seen a few in my life. I don't have time to bore you with them. And you probably, some of you here probably have seen miracles. If you haven't, then pray that God would put you in a position where you need a miracle. That's not a good position. Now, we don't like being uncomfortable, but we sure like the miracle when God performs it. Amen. So anyway, we will become like Jesus, but we can become more like him starting right now. If you have a willing heart. Okay? And that's the key. There are many things that we should be like Jesus in. In fact, we could say all things, but then that would make a rather long series. So we'll just talk about a few things. The first thing I want to look at, and I talked about some of this on a Wednesday night, not all of this, but some of this, so it may sound a little familiar to some of you, or you may already know it anyways. But if you turn to 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, near the back of your Bible, 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought also... I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Start over. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. I'm talking about Jesus here. And so if we claim to be a Christian, then we ought to walk or live our life. The Bible referred to that as our conversation at times. And not just talking about talking, but the way you live your life is your conversation. You know, people are known for certain things in their life. People get a reputation by how they live their life. There are some people, you ever known anybody who's always late for everything? You know they're going to be late. Doesn't matter what it is. They're going to be late. Okay? And so that's their reputation, and it, over time, because that's the way they live their life. That's their conversation. That's their manner of life. They're always late for everything. And then there are other people who are always prompt. You know they're going to be on time. There are some people, you know, if they say they're going to do something, you take it with a grain of salt. You wait and see if they do it because they don't honor their word all the time. They say something, but it doesn't mean they're going to do it. They might do it. They might not. There's other people, they say something, and, you know, it's written with a pen of iron. It's going to, in stone, and it's going to be done. And so you get a reputation by the way you live. And a Christian ought to live his life in as Jesus. He ought to walk like Jesus. Now, we've got a few new faces here, and you probably don't remember the story. I think I might have told it. I may not even told it here. But I had to work in a tomato processing plant in Indiana. I worked there for about 3 years. And as I was doing that, driving commercial fork truck, very hard work, and then something they call, at the end of the season, it's called pack, and they put every tomato they can get in a can. I mean, they just, oh, it's unbelievable. 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. I think I worked 58 days straight. Whoa. Without, you know, whoa, that's tough, you know, especially to drive. And toward the end, we were getting into wrecks and stuff because we were just, it's not safe. Stupid. But that's what they did. So the shift is running 24 hours a day. They had two shifts, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I took night shift and still went to church Sunday morning. It was kind of squirrely. I didn't go Sunday night and I didn't drive the bus. But at any rate, I was bringing my truck in, fork truck, approaching bringing the product up to be pumped out of the. They were like a ton and a half box of crates. They're like 4 foot by 4 foot by 4 foot of condensed tomato sauce, and then they sent it into the cooker. From there, they had a big about 4-inch tube that just sucked all that stuff right up, and it's just always going very fast. A lot of wet, and it was busy. And I pulled in there one time and slid a little bit because the floor was wet and hit the stand and jerked this, and the guy behind it went like that, and he's perfectly safe. Nothing happened to him, you know. And then about 2 hours later, I get pulled over by not by the DPS, but by a supervisor. He stops me in the middle of the road. Whoa, what's up here? And he said, I got a complaint about you. And I go, what? What for? He said, well, somebody said that you just about crushed him up here, and when he confronted you about it, that you got mad and started swearing. And it was funny, and he even said this, and you used God's name in vain, and on and on. He was going on, and I looked down at him. He was a big truck. I looked down at him and said, sir, I've been here 3 years. Can you find anybody in this factory that's ever heard me use one curse word, let alone use God's name in vain? And the guy stopped, his eyes open up. He goes, you're right, that guy's lying, isn't he? Yeah, he's lying.
Oh, boy.
Now, I had the reputation, but do you realize that even just one misspoken word, just one time, had I used God's name in vain over 3 years? And believe me, there's a lot of times if you weren't saved, it'd be very easy to find a reason to curse when you work in a factory.
Yes, sir.
and it was, but only one time. And I would, what would my defense be? Well, you can only find one person that ever heard me swear. And he says, well, now there's two. But no, there's never been anybody. And he realized that. But that's the way you live. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You may not know it, but you have a reputation.
That's right, we do.
Your neighbors, they know what you're like.
Yes, sir.
If those of you who work, I'm retired, semi-retired, if you work, your coworkers know what you're like. Your supervisor, when there's something coming up and there's going to be a change, do they regret bringing this to you because they know you're going to be a problem? We develop a reputation. We ought to walk like Jesus walked. Now, Jesus had a reputation. It was a good reputation. Now, he was hated by the world, and if you'll walk like Jesus walked, there'll be times that the world will hate you.
Yes.
Okay? Because they hated him first. But folks, we've talked about a reputation among men, here in the church, co-workers.
Mm-hmm.
But what's your reputation in heaven's like?
Right.
Now, of all the reputations, you know, in the family, in the neighborhood, at work, in church, in heaven, which one do you think you ought to be working on the most?
There we go.
And we need to work on them all.
Yeah, we do.
But we do need to be concerned about our reputation in heaven.
We do.
We need to walk like Jesus walked.
Amen.
Folks, we are so unlike Jesus in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody came up to you and started, and you heard them curse God, most of us, that would irritate.
Yeah, could, but no.
But you know what? It wouldn't bother us that bad. It wouldn't bother us nearly as much bad as they came up and started cursing you.
Yes, sir.
Now, that would make you angry, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would.
Yeah. You know why?
It would.
Because we're not like Jesus.
That's right.
When they spat in Jesus' face, did he get angry? When they cursed him, did he get angry? People want to say, oh, but Jesus lost his temper. Yeah, and look at it. Every time he lost his temper, it was because they had insulted God. It was never because they insulted him. He was insulted constantly, lied about constantly, and he never retaliated any of those. We're the opposite. Somebody insults God, and I wish I wouldn't do that. Somebody insults us, and we're ready to fight. We need to walk. I'm sorry, I need to get back to my notes. Righteousness. Folks, listen. If you're expecting to get a reward for every time you do something right in this life, you're going to be greatly disappointed. Okay? Because the settling will not be in this life. Oh, there'll be some. Yes, there are consequences to our actions. But there won't always be an immediate reward for doing right. But we still need to learn to do right. and we need, it ought to be something that we work on, something that we work very hard at doing. Folks, there's going to be times in your life, the only thing you're going to have to fall back on, I mean, your world's falling apart. The only only thing you got to fall back on is the fact that you have a clear conscience. It's the fact that you are doing right. We need to do this. It'll bring glory to God, and that's what we ought to be doing anyways, trying to bring glory to him. Also, now let's, I got to hurry, I'm sorry. Philippians chapter number 2. Go, turn back to Philippians. Right after the book of Ephesians is the book of Philippians, chapter number 2 and verse number 5. And the word of God said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I have trouble, probably more trouble than most people, with my thoughts and trying to shut them off at night and trying to concentrate during the day even on holy things. And we need to be like Christ in our thoughts. Brother Hall, can you look up this verse? I was going to do it. I should have done it. I got my concordance. I could do it probably, but I'll just have you do this. Let's think on these things. You know the verse? Can you use you have a concordance with you? I should ask you, have a concordance. Yeah. Oh, that'll work. I'll tell you what. Rather than putting Brother Hall on the spot. You all know the verse. I just, because of my memory lapse, I can't recall the reference. Hold on a second. Okay. No, not coming up there. Yeah. Can you read it, please? Now, if we're going to be like Jesus in our thought life, then what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go back to this book. Because when you're living your daily life and you have a flat tire along the side of the road and it's 100 and infinity outside, you know, one of those days, it's 1,000 degrees and you got a flat tire and there's no shade for miles and you got to get out there in your good clothes and change that tire. Or, you know, things go wrong at work, things go wrong at home. Yeah, you're just having a tough day. It's not. You're not going to always recall these things that he just read off. And so, ought to go to that verse. Ought to think about that verse, because our mind, we condition our mind, and we look. There's been studies galore, and I don't have time to get into it. But Pete, you take somebody who looks at pornography, and it's going to affect their mind in such a way, and it's going to cause their mind to degenerate. And the same level of, you know, you started out with Victoria's Secret, looking at the, you know, the models and the underwear, and then, but after a while, that won't satisfy you because you have conditioned your mind, and then you have to go to more gross or things to look at. And then pretty soon, that's all they can think about. Okay? They don't tell you, but you know that most of these mass murderers, when they finally get into their lairs, get in their apartments, get in their houses, there's pornography all over the place.
There is.
Because their mind has been corrupted, and it's always degenerating down. Faye did a study one time and wrote a paper about little kids who were exposed to computers. I know in the public school, man, preschool, we got to get computers for the kids.
Oh boy!
No, you don't. And what happens is it their mind is still developing, and as they do that, work on these computers, and you have to talk to my wife about all the technical terms and how it actually works. But it changes the way the mind works, and that's a permanent change, because their mind doesn't develop the way it's supposed to develop at that certain age. You see, what you think about is important. In fact, God put it this way. whatsoever. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yes, sir.
It isn't, he's this way, so he thinks. See, it isn't, he does this and then he thinks. No, he thinks first. Mm-hmm. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He becomes the man he becomes because of what he's been thinking about. And you'll become the person you're going to become because of what you think about. And so if we're going to be like Jesus, then we're going to have to learn to think on these things, the things that God has listed here in the scriptures for us. And if we'll do those things, that will help you. Now, I'm bringing this up. I didn't even think about it as I was writing it, wrote this up, and I wanted to, the Lord brought it to me, and I wanted to share that with you because that's something that I probably need because, you know, I'm having a tough time controlling my thoughts here lately, and it will help me. I know it will because I've done it in the past. And just need to get back, think on these things. You're angry? Does your anger will just keep building and building and building if you keep, it'll fester if you keep feeding it. It's like a fire. You keep throwing sticks in the fire, it's going to just get bigger. And it's going to keep burning longer. So yeah, exactly. So what do you do? If you're cooking on a campfire and everything's too hot, it's burning the food, what do? You pull some of the fuel away. And you know what? These things that get pulled out, they die out. But the big fire is smaller too.
Yep.
And so the things we think about feed our thoughts, reinforces the things we're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And so when you're thinking about things that aren't pleasant, that aren't right, that aren't, then let's go back and see what God wants us to think about.
Yes,
what's that verse again? Philippians what? Philippians 4:8. I know a preacher said I can't give you a memory verse, so this is unofficial. You don't have to memorize this. You don't have to tell Brother Duffy this.
Hey.
But let me give you a word of advice. Memorize Philippians 4:8.
Hey.
Okay. Shh. Don't tell on me. Okay? Philippians 4:8. And as we learn to think like Jesus thought, you know what we're going to do? We're going to learn to act like Jesus acts. Then obedience won't be so hard. Then humility won't be so hard.
Right.
You know, humility can be a very hard thing. It's easy to talk, be humble. It's easy to be humble when you're in a good mood and you want to be humble and you want to show off your humbleness, you know. Like when I go to a new church, I got a sermon I love to preach. Humility and how I found it. No, that's not a good title, is it? Okay. It's easy to be humble when you want to be humble. But how about when you don't want to be humble?
There you go.
When you're being put on the spot because you maybe you messed up something. You know, your pride wants to defend yourself, doesn't it? Yeah, but. Well, there you go. Thank you. There's that but again. Yeah, but. You want to defend yourself, and that's pride. And sometimes, you know, you just have to hang your head. I sure messed up, didn't I?
Yeah.
And then try to make it right. Humility. You see, if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to be humble. And in Luke chapter 22... And verse number 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. But ye shall not be so. You know, that's a command.
Yes, sir, it is.
That right there, what Jesus said, is just as authoritative as Exodus chapter 20,
yep.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Amen.
It is as much as commandment of thou shalt not lie. It is as much a commandment as any other commandment in the Bible. It was spoken by Jesus, but let me tell you something. It was written in God's word.
Yep.
And because it is written in God's word and Christ spoke this authoritatively, he spoke it directly, it is a command to us not to be like the Gentiles, not to exercise lordship over other people. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, which among them was worthy of that? You're going to look high and low, and you won't find anyone.
Yes, sir.
God stooping to wash the feet of sinful men. But Christ was humble enough to do that, leaving us, what? An example of humility. And we need to be humble. Humble. That doesn't mean walking around feeling down, always tearing yourself down. You know, I'm no good. You know, woe is me, you know. Not talking about that. Not talking about low self-esteem. What's the middle word in that phrase? Low
self-esteem? Yeah.
So what are you focusing on when you have that kind of attitude? Self. It's just as much sin as high self-esteem, what we call pride. Because both are focused upon self. What we need to be is we need to be in the middle there where we're not concerned about our rights, about ourselves. We're concerned about honoring God and putting other people before us and so forth. We shouldn't be like these guys arguing who's the best. We shouldn't be like that at all in any area of our life. We should be more like Christ, who was willing to obey, who was willing to humble himself. The Bible says he humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. Folks, our 21st century mind has been so conditioned over the years. We think of the cross, and even though we're not Catholic, when you think about the cross, we tend to think about it in visualization, the way the Catholics present it. A very ornate, pretty figure on a cross. And maybe silver, maybe solid gold, maybe platinum, you know, maybe gold, you know. But what we don't see are the wounds in his hands and the blood flowing from the beating he took about his head and his face and the beard being plucked out. We don't see the bloody cross that was rough, that just laying on would put splinters in your back. We don't see that kind of a cross. It was a humiliating death. Because they stripped these people, they would strip them naked when they would hang them on the cross. Because of modesty, when they show pictures, they would put a loincloth on him. But he was stripped naked in front of the world, hung there. Very humiliating death. Yet he was willing to humble himself to that. We don't have to humble ourselves to death of the cross, but maybe we should humble ourselves to the death of self sometimes. And let other people have their way.
Yes, sir.
Just saying, Brother Duffy. Now we could go on and on and on and on looking at attributes of Jesus. But as we learn more about him and we begin to follow his example, it will change the way we treat other people.
Yes, sir.
It's just going to. Because we're acting like Christ. So we wouldn't be demeaning. We'll stand for God. We'll boldly proclaim the truth. We'll witness for Christ. They say, shut up. We say, let me tell you about Jesus. They say, shut up. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. I'll do it this way. But I'm going to tell you about Jesus. You know, and we're going to not fighting, not with a fist in our government's face. But if they say you can't pray, we pray anyways.
Yes, sir.
They told Daniel once he couldn't pray.
They did.
So they threw him in a den of lions. He got a good night's sleep, and the king didn't get any sleep that night.
He did.
And that was the case when wrong was made right immediately, because then the people who told on him, who arrested him, they were thrown in the lions, and that was it. They were lunch meat. But even had they not been destroyed that way, it was still right for Daniel to pray. And that's what, you know, if we're going to be like Jesus, as we begin to act like him, we're going to become more and more like him. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Now, that verse teaches us that by association, your friends will gradually change you. And you know what they're going to change you into? You're going to be more like them. Anybody that's been married for a long time, you'll see them begin to take on the attributes of the other, of the spouse. Now, they're both doing it, so they kind of blend to one. You ever seen some couple, and they're in a conversation, and the other person is finishing their sentence? They do it back and forth both ways. Why? Because they begin to think alike. They begin to talk alike. They begin to act alike. They begin to look alike. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, if you are hanging around Jesus, so to speak, he's going to have an influence upon you. And you will find yourself becoming more like him, less like the world. Because iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. This is why that verse in Philippians is so important. That we think, and the things we think then, those are the things we act out. If we're thinking the things that Jesus would think, then we would act out the way Jesus would act out. And as you're in his word, as you're around his people, as you're listening to messengers, as you're singing good songs, good Christian songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, and even singing the Psalms, that's a good thing to do. Learn some choruses from the book of Psalms. And as you do these things, you will find you will gradually become more and more like Jesus. And isn't that what God has intended for us? Yeah, it is. In fact, he predestinated us to be exactly like Jesus. So in the process, between now and when I become like Jesus, it is a process, but I can speed it along by being faithful to church, by reading the word, by praying, by memorizing the scripture, by thinking on these things that he has us to think on. And as we think on these things and do these things, then that can speed along that process. Now, look, it's not us. We're not doing it in our strength. Everything has to be predicated on the fact that we are relying on Jesus. We're relying on God's power to transform us. But we must present ourselves. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. We present ourselves. We yield. And we allow God to use these tools to change us so that we can become more and more like him. Then that part about humility becomes more and more important. Because in order to yield yourself, you're going to have to be humble. Because, hey, Brother Duffy, if there's nothing wrong with me, I don't need to present myself to be transformed, is there? Now, nobody goes so bold to say there's nothing wrong with me. But a lot of us would say, well, there's not much. But I'm here to say, at least about me, I'm speaking only for myself. I can't even speak for my wife on this one, let alone you. There's a lot wrong with me. But that we're going to have to humble ourselves, submit ourselves to God, think on these things, begin to act out the way Jesus would act out and I don't mean act out in a bad way. I guess I got to rephrase that. To me, that simply means acting like. And so we act like Jesus, and over time, we will become more like him. Okay? So so much of it depends upon our willingness. And you know what happens if you do that? You will find that you'll have a clear conscience. You know, a clear conscience is a powerful tool. You know why police officers are able to take people, put them in a room, interrogate them, and get them to confess the crimes? Because they got a guilty conscience.
Yes, sir.
Now, they know they're guilty. They don't have any proof on them, but they're gonna bring this. They're so smart. They call it an interview now. It's not an interview. It's an interrogation. But if you ever find yourself in, you won't. But if you ever do find yourself, it's not an interview. It's an interrogation. They are looking for a way. They are looking for proof to put you in jail. That's not an interview. That's an interrogation. So as they are interrogating these people, they'll take his accomplice over here, and they'll come to this person and say, Joe over there, I'm sorry, but He gave it all up, and all the blame's on you. And you're going to jail for a long time. And he might get probation. He might not get anything. And you go, oh, no, Joe would never turn on me. But you know what they're doing on Joe over here? Hey, Joe, you know, Kenny over there, he's telling us the truth. Man, he's filling out his statement right now. He's laying it all on you, 100% on you. He's going to go free. You're going to jail unless you help us. And then this guy will sign a confession implicating both of them, while Joe's over here will sign another confession implicating both of them. Then they both go to jail, and it's because they had a guilty conscience. Now, if you know you haven't done anything wrong, they can try to trick you all you want, and you don't have to worry about, what did I say to, what lie did I tell them to that question last time? You don't have to, because you didn't lie last time. You, guilty conscience is a terrible thing, whereas a good conscience gives you strength. And so when times get hard in life, sometimes all you got to rely on is the fact that you got a clean conscience, you serve a great God, and someday out in the future, he's going to set everything straight. It's very, very important that we learn to act and think and become more and more like Jesus. What time is this class over? Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. I do really have memory issues. 1 Peter 2, and then we'll be done. I got just about enough time to read the verse. And First Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. I think this is why it sounded so familiar, is on a Wednesday night I talked about guile. And but let's go ahead and take a look at 1 Peter. After the book of James, you'll come to the book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 21. For even here unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, so we ought to be like him, that ye should follow his steps, there it is, follow like he is, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. All right? Now that word guile means craft or deceit. And people who study words, and I can't think, I know it starts with an E, etymology, I can't say, I don't know what it is, but you know what I'm talking about. People who study words, they tell us that this probably originated from the idea of a decoy, what we're reading here, guile, a decoy. Now, there's probably no duck hunters out here, but you know what a duck hunter does? He buys these little wooden ducks, and they paint them up, and some got their head down, some got their heads up, you know. They all got smiles on their beaks, you know. And they put these ducks out there, and these ducks are saying to the ducks up in the air, come on down, it's safe. Yeah. We've checked it out. There aren't no hunters here. The water is cool, refreshing. The fishing is good. Come. Let's hang out in the shade of the bank for a little while. We'll go over here in the brushes, or it's kind of cool. Come on down, it's safe. Just trust me. Hey, when somebody says trust me, unless it's your pastor or your spouse, don't trust them. Okay? Trust me. It's like a politician. Trust me. Trust me. A used car salesman. Trust me.
Trust me.
Yes, you know, sir. No. Then these decoys are saying trust me. Really, they're lying. They're going to get you down in range, and the hunter's going to shoot you.
Exactly.
How much guile, deceit do we spew out of our mouth? And the question is, how much did Jesus spew out of his mouth? And if that doesn't convince you, we've got a lot of work ahead of us, then nothing will. But I'm not a very good man, and I need a lot of help. Let's try these things and just see what happens. Just go to Philippians. Let's start thinking these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to bring your word. Lord, I pray that you'd use it to help me, help us, each and every one, to become more like Christ. Help us to follow after Jesus, our example. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless the folks here, bless the church hour and junior church hour to come. And then, Lord, we want to thank you for these treats and for whoever provided it this day. We ask you to bless the treats and bless the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's go have some coffee, Brother Duffy. Hey.